don't matter if you lean left or right, or you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on,
good morning. Welcome to Cody Talks. It's Sunday, November 11th. It's kind of trickery because it's not really, we're pre-recording this, but you're listening to this on Sunday, November 11th. I'm on a quick vacation, so I came in and did a recorded show. For those of you that tried to go and see it on the internet live on Sunday morning, I apologize because it wasn't there because we didn't have any way to broadcast it live because I'm not in the United States while you're listening to this if you're listening on Sunday. I don't think there's anything else that's, let's talk a little bit about the folks in the Northeast. We kind of sent our thoughts out to them last week because of Superstorm Sandy. And now they're getting pounded again by a winter storm. They're going to have to prove their courage and their strength up there because there's a lot of places that are getting during the middle of the week last week got 8 to 10 inches of snow on top of all the damage and hundreds of thousands of homes that got their power back, lost it out again. So send a little bit of thoughts and prayers out to those folks. You just hate to see that when they get rocked one time and then get rocked again. It's not a good deal. And the resources, although there's great resources and support available for emergency response, stuff like that, it's awful hard when they're knee deep in the recovery of one thing and another one hits them. So thoughts and prayers with them. From there, let's just go ahead and move on to the biggest topic on my mind right now. And it's not the election anymore. The presidential election didn't go the way I voted, but I'm not super distraught over it or anything. It kind of went the way that I thought it was going to go. And I don't think that, Barack Obama is out to ruin the United States or take over the world or develop a new world order with George Soros. I do completely disagree with his economic methods, of trying to fix things, but he's only going to be there 4 more years and America is too strong and powerful to really suffer from it. So we'll be fine. As long as we can get over the crying and the whine and the griping. I never was a huge fan of all the personal drama that gets shared on Facebook before, but it's just been absolutely ridiculous and it comes from being in Kansas. We're a red state. We're a Republican state. And I'm friends with a lot of diehard conservative red Republicans and I respect their views. But this is not the end of the world, folks. I've seen things all the way from the classic standard lie of I'm going to move to Canada to America died today to just horrible things. But in the big scheme of things are just drama so that someone feels it's like the individual things happening in their lives aren't important enough. So they take these national things and make them more that not that the election's not important, but the consequences of it are not going to ruin your life. Even if you completely disagree with Barack Obama or the Democratic Party on everything, as long as you take care of your business, take care of your life and your community and your little village around you, everybody's going to be just fine. In 4 years, he's not going to kill people. He's not going to imprison people. I agree with folks that he's probably going to make, our economic woes at a minimum stagnant or maybe even worse. But we'll recover from it. We've been in worse times in this country. And it's the disheartening thing to me is the complete lack of confidence in America that we've seen. That I've seen at least on my Facebook, in the last keep in mind it's Thursday right now when I'm actually talking here. And so since the election, it's really been disheartening, and it didn't go the way I voted. But really the only thing to do, the only response that's justified with the American spirit is just to kind of suck it up and move on. Take care of your business. Try to make your individual situation and those around you's situation better. Barack Obama sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue can't keep you from doing that. He can't keep you from making progress. He can't ruin your life. He can't bring America to an end. And again, I'm admitting that I think that his economic stuff, is hurting us, that we're going in the wrong direction. But by all means, there's no need for the drama and the, you know, just crying and sob stories on Facebook. The thing to do is go out and live your life and push it, make it better, be progressive about the status quo and solve your problems on your own. It really comes down to a personal responsibility thing. And I kind of want to preface this with, I like talk about personal responsibility a lot, and I always have this fear that I think it's going to be like I'm preaching or judgmental, but I mean, I've screwed more things up in my life than the average 10 people combined, I can promise you. And I have a lazy streak and my pants get too tight sometimes. And there's so many things that I've done wrong. It's not that personal responsibility in my mind is not being so astute and disciplined that you never make mistakes. All it is just when things aren't going right and it's your fault, admitting that it's your fault, or admitting that you have, or on a positive side, realizing and embracing the fact that you have the power to fix it, even if it's not your fault. Obviously someone's sitting out there thinking, you know, I have stage 4 cancer for totally unknown reasons. That's not what I'm talking about. And don't come back at me with extreme examples of when a person's problems or issues aren't their fault. But there's a lot of people in this country that take things like the economy or the opposite political party or who got elected as president and ride them and use them as excuses to not better their situation. And the economy is making it harder for some folks to better their situation. There's no doubt about it. There's other circumstances out there that are barriers, that complicate things. But in the big scheme of things, who gets elected president is not one of them. He has nothing to do with the future of any of the 350 million individuals in the United States. Obviously, he can drastically affect the future of the United States overall, but whether or not you wake up tomorrow morning or go on through the day today, and have a good day and improve your situation is way more up to people that are in your neighborhood, in your family, in your community, at your job, and most importantly, up to yourself, than it is up to Barack Obama. He's not going to do anything over the next 4 years that truly limits you from improving your situation and realizing your American dream. My point is, and today we're going to talk some more about my thoughts about personal responsibility and some of the changes that I see happening in the United States and how it's affecting all of us, those changes. But the main point here of this first segment that I hope folks can take away from it is, whoever was elected president, and it's not like I'm dogging the Republican Romney fans, because the Obama fans would have been exactly the same way if Romney had run, that he was going to ruin the world and be greedy and the poor were all going to starve and the rich were all going to get a new jet, and Mitt Romney wouldn't have had the power to do that either. We place so much emphasis on this presidential election. And don't get me wrong, I'm not demeaning the value or the importance of voting and educating yourself. But in the big scheme of things, it actually has very little effect on your day-to-day life who ends up getting elected president. And I'm not downplaying the political process or that you should be, I'm not saying you should be less passionate, or less knowledgeable, less engrossed in learning about it. But in the big scheme of things, it's over with. And the best thing that anyone can do, fan or foe of Barack Obama, is move forward and make their own life a little better today than it was yesterday. And again, no matter who is sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in that big White House, no one sitting in that chair can keep you from doing that. That's the true joy and freedom of America. That the way the system's built, the president can't hurt you in your attempts to grow and prosper and live the American dream. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on Cody Talks.
The holidays are just around the corner, so when you're looking for a big payday, look no further than the first name in gaming, First Council Casino. Every day in November is the Grand A Day giveaway. Just come into First Council Casino any day in November, and for every 10 points you earn that day, you'll automatically receive an entry into that day's drawing for $1,000 in cold hard cash. It's that easy, and the best part, you don't even need to be here to win. The $1,000 prize is drawn each day at midnight, but all you have to do is leave a valid phone number and email address, and if your name is chosen, we'll call you to share the good news. It's just another first from the casino that's bringing you a grand a day every day in November. First Council Casino Hotel, North Highway 77 in Newkirk, just south of the Kansas state line. More winners, more cash, more often. Visit FirstCouncilCasinoHotel.com for more info.
We're asking people how big a marriage is.
Like how many people it affects.
Right.
So let's find out.
How big is it? Yeah. I can't measure it.
It's worldwide. Well,
I would say big as the universe.
So your marriage affects more than just the two of you.
How many people?
I believe 1,000.
If you bring joy to your marriage, I'm kind of like, I want that too.
You see those nice people being together, being happy, and you want to enjoy that too.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, welcome back to Cody Talks, segment two. In the first segment there, I kind of jumped on my soapbox about the fact that the president of the United States, really honestly, the majority of the federal government, but that's not completely true, but the president of the United States has very little ability to hinder your day-to-day progress, your day-to-day living and chasing and pursuing your American dream. And with that in mind, it frustrates me to no end how upset people got about, how upset people on my, some people on my Facebook got about Barack Obama winning the presidential election. It's frustrating to me. He's, you know what? You're gonna wake up tomorrow and do the exact same thing that you've been doing. Now, I know some of you think that it's Barack Obama's fault that you're out of work, or that it's Barack Obama's policy on immigration that is the reason that you're out of work, or that Barack Obama is gonna let the gays get married and the whole world is gonna burn. None of that, while his policies, and his procedures may make the process of some folks day to day more difficult, he does not limit our ability to pursue the American dream. Now, what's the flip side of that? The flip side of that is that the president of the United States can really do nothing to help you in the pursuit of whatever your dream is, whatever your goal is, whatever your definition of success is. And that's where, that's the one that I really think is hazardous to the American society, is this perception that we have, that government is going to fix the things that stress us the most on a day-to-day basis. Now, if you're a gay person, and your biggest stress is the fact that you get screwed and can't get married, then that's a different story. We're absolutely right. The government should, come to the realization that there's a straight human rights violation happening there. But if more money or more freedom or more arts and culture in your town or more experiences and benefits for your kids, even more education for your kids, folks. If you don't think that public education is teaching your kids everything they need to know, then buy them books and teach them at home. Send them to another school. Move on. Government is not only blamed for way more than it has the power to cause, it's also expected to do and fix way more than it has the power to actually fix. Honestly and truly, our country's economic status, our bank account, our $16 trillion in debt, is just about the only thing that the federal government, that and our defense and our roads, is just about the only thing that the federal government really has the power to fix. They try like crazy to fix everything and mess 95% of it up. But the reason that they're trying to fix it is because we expect them to. We elect people based on, are they going to fix this social condition, or are they going to fix my little town's economic condition, or are they going to get me a better job? The most telling thing to me that actually came out of this election was that the first town hall debate, this college senior at whatever school that they're at stands up with the first question of the night and asks the two presidential candidates what they're going to do when they're elected to guarantee that he gets a good job. And to me, it kind of summed up this really sad state of affairs that I see, that this kid, this soon-to-be college graduate from what? You remember what college they were at, Heath, when they did the town hall? I don't remember either. Some kind of little college that I never really heard of or something. But this kid thought that the president of the United States should have an answer to guarantee him that he was going to have a good job when he graduated from college. And the president of the United States, not only is it not his job, not only is it not in the president's job description to guarantee a good job for someone, it's impossible. He can't do it. He has no effect on that. He has no influence on that. And to ask that question is just, it's completely ridiculous to me, but it really sums up this state of affairs in the United States that we have right now, of people thinking that government is the solution to their problems, and at the same time the cause of their problems. Very, very, very few of any individuals in the United States' day-to-day problems have anything to do with or can be solved by the government. They're personal responsibility issues. Again, please let me go back to the fact that I'm not preaching. I screw stuff up all the time, but I really think that if America in general did more taking the time and having the wherewithal to admit that their mistakes were what caused their bad situation, and that they have the power, or their community or their family or their friends, and it's not all an individual thing, is the actual answer to making your individual situation better. If America would adopt that philosophy and quit relying so much on blaming the government and then asking the government for a solution to those problems, I really think, and that can be summed up in my mind at least, as personal responsibility, and that Heath just looked it up for us. It was at Hofstra. I actually have heard of Hofstra, so I shouldn't have said I hadn't heard of it, but this kid from Hofstra, it's kind of a fun word to say if you can get it out. This kid from Hofstra, I still can't say it right, Hofstra, stands up and asks the presidential candidates how they're going to guarantee that he's going to get a good job. And it's a complete and utter lack of understanding the concept of personal responsibility. And there's a lot of people in this country that sit and aren't happy for whatever reason. It's not really a poor rich thing, because there's a lot of rich people, or people that have money or are well off that blame the government for all of these problems that they have. Now, some of them are going to come back at me with tax issues. And I do think that the government overtaxes everyone as a whole. But that's not really what keeps you from achieving your goal. It may slow down the process, but the government has zero ability to, I shouldn't say zero. The government has very, very little ability to hinder you in achieving your goals, unless they're illegal goals, right? I mean, you know, if your goal is to be a murderer then or a serial killer and the government can't, never mind. And as long as you have the standard types of goals, the government has very little ability to hinder that and also very little ability to actually assist you in it. And it's not their job. And every time that we pile on the government as a reason for another problem, our legislators who want to keep us happy, most of them, it seems, for absolutely no other reason than so that they'll vote for us, they try to come up with a solution to your problem. And when it's happening at the Washington, D.C. level, whatever the problem is, when it's happening at the Washington, D.C. level, it's very likely to not have a very good application in Hutchinson, Kansas, or little bitty town, Colorado, or medium-sized town, Nebraska. The federal government is not, and every time they've ever tried to help us, every time they've ever tried to initiate a nationwide policy to solve especially social and cultural issues, it's backfired. Now, they haven't all been failures. That's not what I'm saying. But there's huge repercussions. Let's go with repercussions. Heath, what do you think? There's huge repercussions every time the federal government tries to initiate a nationwide policy to solve issues that are best solved by the individual or the city or the county or the state. I'm really not an anti-federal government person. I'm not a right-wing Freeman. But the inefficiencies and the bureaucracy coming down from Washington have no, there's no record of them instituting any type of program that has been a true bona fide success, when it comes to internal, social, and cultural and local issues, for people all across this country. You look at the things that they do that are just totally contradictory to what state and local governments want to have happen. We're really going to see a battle between state sovereignty and federal government issues with this Colorado and Washington passing, making it legal for making recreational marijuana illegal. Because technically they just passed a law that completely contradicts a federal law and is in violation of it. And the Attorney General Eric Holder, is probably going to be pressured by someone, whether he wants to or not, to act upon this. And now we have states that are doing, why did the federal government, ever get involved in that? Why did the federal government pass these sweeping laws, on so many different individual items, on so many different things? The federal government has come in and said, here's the way everyone across the United States is going to do this. And it's been, in a lot of cases, directly polar opposite of what local people spread out all across this country with different social, economical, cultural backgrounds, want to have happen. And you can see it. Heath has a red-blue map up here, the map of the United States with the red states marked and the blue states marked. And when there's that kind of diversity in philosophy, which is what makes this country great, okay? I'm a registered libertarian that truly is as liberal as you can get on social issues and almost as conservative as you can get on financial issues. And that red and blue map is the epitome of the spread out diversity in the United States that we don't all think the same. And every time whoever's in power in Washington, D.C. decides to dictate their moral or financial or cultural values through a sweeping broadcast of policies and legislation, you step on the rights of someone in America. You step on the values and beliefs of someone in America. And the worst consequence of it is that people have now come to just let it be accepted. People have now come to just let it be our way of life that the federal government needs to solve and fix all of these individual issues and problems. Again, don't sit there and think that I'm some extremist that doesn't think we should have federal laws, that doesn't think we should have a federal government. But I really do feel like they've created this dependency by trying to solve all of our problems. They've created now a couple generations of people that have an overwhelming presence of folks within them that believe that the federal government is the solution to all their problem and the cause of all their ills. And neither one of those things are true. We'll get into a little bit more specifics on my thoughts of that when we come back from another quick break.
CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. CentralKansasHelpWanted.com is now up and running. To place your first ad at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com, free, be one of the first 50 users to post with the tracking code TRYITOUT. All one word, no spaces. That'll give you a 30-day job posting with colors and logo included, all free. So post your ad today at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com to be one of the first 50 users.
This is Sandra with Reno County Communities That Care. The direct costs of underage drinking for medical care and loss of work cost Kansas $187 million each year. Parents play a crucial role in discouraging their children from using alcohol. Talk early and often to your child and let them know that underage drinking is wrong. To learn more, visit ctcreno.org. Like us on Facebook at Reno County Communities That Care.
Hey, get out of the road! You get out of the road! At least my bumper's not falling off! Oh, great.
In many states, if you're a young man turning 18, you can't get a driver's license if you don't register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Which means if you don't register, you could be doing a whole lot of this. KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, welcome back to Cody Talks. Cody Heitschmidt live on the show. If you have comments or questions about what we're saying today, check us out on Facebook. I really forgot to do all of that at the beginning of the show, Heath. Isn't that like your responsibility to remind me of that? Have you seen, there's a TV on in here. That's Miley Cyrus, man.
With,
what's up with the haircut?
I don't know.
She's trying to be pink. Anyway, Miley Cyrus has a crazy haircut. That was distracting because she actually looks fairly good with that haircut. So now I got to get back on focus. We're talking about personal responsibility, the fact that the president, whoever it is, it doesn't matter if we elect Heath Schroeder right here, our studio engineer on the Cody Talk Show, into the presidency. Heath could not possibly do so. Heath would do a phenomenal job, but he could not possibly do such a great job that he actually solved all the woes and fixed all the problems of every individual across the United States. And in fact, the president has very little effect on the day-to-day individual lives of people. It really boils down to this concept of personal responsibility. And a lot of people, when I say personal responsibility, my bleeding heart friends take it as, I think it's a dog-eat-dog world that everyone's on their own and it's just survival of the fittest. And that's not the case at all. Personal responsibility, in my mind, very much includes your personal responsibility to help your neighbors, help your community, and keep the world around you in a logical sense moving forward. Those folks out there that, even if your ducks aren't in a row, even if your stuff's screwed up, you still have, I think, just a basic human responsibility to try and help your neighbor. And it sounds like an almost far-fetched or or an unrealistic concept, but I'm telling you, it's very much possible that if people would take the time, if every person just helped the person to their right in the world, no kidding, that's the most efficient, the cheapest, the most kind-hearted, the most caring, the literally best and most realistic way for everyone in the world to have a helping hand that supports them and helps make their life better, or helps dig them out of a hole, or helps provide a fix to their issues. And it's so screwed up in the United States right now, where we've come to rely on our national capital, that at least for our part is 1,600 miles away, as the place that's going to help our neighbors. I think it all came from, you know, the so-called progressive movement, initiating federal policies, all kind of centered around FDR's New Deal, and the progression of that, and on into the federal government becoming the institution that was going to turn this country around and help it grow. And while all of that is a great concept, and it in fact worked pretty well and grew this country into, you know, the greatest country in the world, the most powerful country in this world, the most free country in this world, it also created this gigantic and enormous dependency on the federal government, that we now have. You know, you take food stamps as an example. I'm a fan of the food stamp program. I don't want anyone, and I'm prepared to, you can take as much money from me as you possibly can, and I can give to make sure that no one starves to death. But we now, through the fact that that program is regulated by external people on a government basis, and the rules are made thousands of miles away, and the money gets sent away and then some of it gets sent back, we have created a generation of people that are dependent on it, a generation of people that think that that's just the way you work in life, is that you have food stamps all the time and it's a never-ending process. I'm not saying everyone. I know a lot of good people that have needed help. I've needed help in my life to get through with my family, but we've created part of the people in a generation that think that that's the way that you do it, and it's not their fault. It's our fault for creating this system that allowed them to think that way. The system killed their spirit. It killed their American dream, their desire to be responsible and proud of digging themselves out of a hole, of accomplishing themselves. I use this of accomplishing these things on their own as much as possible. It doesn't, again, I'm not running it's a dog eat dog theory here. I very much want to help people. I very much think that we all have a human responsibility to help those in need. But when you do it through a massive, giant, bureaucratic, inefficient government program, not only does it get abused, it's inefficient, it's wasteful, and it needs reformed. It needs to be fixed. The economy is not so bad that 47 million people can't afford to feed themselves. It's just not. It's an excuse. Now, I think there's millions that need help and need these programs, and I'm all in favor of keeping them around. But they need reformed. They need to be more efficient. And the only possible way you can do that is to bring them back to a local and state level exclusively. Every state should be responsible for providing their own type of system that their citizens believe in and get behind to help those in need. And you can't convince me, nor do you really believe it, even if you're saying it, that if that happened, that there would be states that didn't provide a system and that people would just starve. It wouldn't happen. The American people are too good of people, and the efficiencies that came about it would make our social programs so much cheaper, so much more effective at getting those off of them, that are capable of getting themselves off of them. and the sole reason behind it. I realized that it got started. I'm not claiming, there's a lot of folks out there that believe that the Democratic Party or the liberals or the progressives, implement these programs so that people will get on the program, become dependent of the government, and therefore continue to vote Democrat. Maybe somebody thinks that way, but that's not why it started. It started out of the greatest intentions and the kindest hearts of people that wanted to develop a program that would help those in need, which I'm all in favor of that. But then they took it all the way to the national level and created a system that is clear to one side of the country, and trying to develop a system that works for every individual across this giant span of land in Alaska and Hawaii that are both thousands of miles away from any other state. And you can't create programs to help individuals when you have no idea what the culture or the society or the community where that individual is. And that's why it all stems, it all goes back to the root of, we have got to stop. Michael Murphy, that we've had on this show twice now, is an author. He wrote a book called Spare Time. I'd encourage you to read it. I think that Michael is a little bit more, he's farther towards the belief in a progressive agenda than I am. But the things that he says in the book are so realistic and true. He uses the phrase that he wants to start a project to make the government irrelevant. And that is the reason that I think he's a little bit more extreme than me. I don't want to make the government irrelevant, but I want to make the government way less relevant than it is, the federal government. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-dependence on the government, unless need be, and I'm anti inefficiency and bureaucracy. And that's all we're getting, especially out of the programs that have been labeled entitlement programs. I'm not opposed to the entitlement programs. I'm not a diehard Republican right wing dog eat dog survival of the fittest guy. I think we should have those programs. I just don't think there's any way that they can be run in Washington DC without us getting ourselves into the mess that we're in now. If each individual state ran their own food stamp program with just their state dollars, there would be, just right now, if they'd been going that way for the last several years, there would be less people on food stamps, because they could find innovative and location specific, geography specific, culturally specific ways to lessen the number of people that are dependent on those entitlement programs. And then when to take the entitlement program or the inefficiency system even further, you start to look at Social Security and the fact that when the baby boomers come through and are all into the age of wanting their Social Security checks, and we've borrowed all the money. We've taken all of the money and left IOU notes out of Social Security. And right now we're just able to kind of churn and burn the checks. What a ridiculously inefficient system that we have. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't take care of our elderly and those that have served us and worked and lived and been in this country for a long time? Absolutely not. But if we don't get together and find at a minimum some reform of the Social Security system, if not a complete revamp of it, we have really, really serious issues coming. You know, they're starting to use this term fiscal cliff. And here's the tie in to the original segment. Okay. All of these entitlement programs, everyone that is relying on them, or the number of people that are relying on them, has expanded so much in the last 30 to 40 years that are relying on the government. You know, it never started that way. America grew and prospered and became the greatest, freest country in the world by kind of a bunch of rogue independents jumping in covered wagons and driving off to see what was in front of them with no guarantees from the government other than a piece of land to set down on. And they weren't promised that the ability to fail wasn't taken away from them. And that really is the scariest thing to me, that we seem to have this goal of eliminating people's ability to fail. And, you know, there's so many examples of it, from No Child Left Behind to 99-week unemployment checks. How can you possibly be unemployed for 99 weeks, and why do we keep extending that instead of doing things to create jobs, as opposed to, you know, 99, that's 2 years almost of us creating a program for someone to not be able to fail. And when you take away someone's ability to fail, a lot of people do it with their children, but inherently it's human nature that if you can't fail, the vast majority of people in the world will lose their drive to succeed, because failure and fear of it is such a driving factor in pushing and improving a situation. And that's what's created this reliance on the government, is people have lost their drive. Not everyone, but some people have lost their drive to get up and accomplish and succeed and use local resources and push forward, because they have zero fear of failing. They have zero fear of things going really, really bad and them having to fix them on their own. It's not going to happen. We've become reliant on these programs. And I'm not saying, please, I know that I had this discussion on two other radio shows this week, and people always come back with you hate poor people and you want people to just starve to death in the streets. And if you really listen to the things that I say, you know that that's completely untrue. And I do a lot of things in my community to try and help folks, and get involved and help my community to grow and prosper. I am by no means claiming that we should eliminate these programs. I'm by no means claiming that we shouldn't have systems in place to keep people from starving to death or dying because of financial things. I'm a big fan of Medicaid and Medicare both. I think they need reformed and revamped, but I'm a fan of both of them. I'm a fan of Social Security, and I'm a fan of food stamps. But we have taken it all the way from a safety net when things are bad for people to we've just taken them completely down off the high wire and set them on the ground, which sounds great, except the high wire is the only way to walk over to success. And we've taught them that, hey, if you rely on the government, we'll never let you fail. We'll never let anything go really, really bad. So you don't have to fear that anymore. And taking away that fear of failure, inherently, and I think it's a 95% of the time, will eliminate people's drive to succeed. And everyone knows it's true. You see it in test scores and attention in, you look at school districts as a microcosm of it, or school classrooms, excuse me, that teachers no longer are able to really get angry and punish a student. People are no longer able to fail a student, because No Child Left Behind was so misconstrued and distorted that no one can fail a grade anymore. And so you just move on. It takes a very special person, or a person with insane goals of their own, to stay driven in a circumstance like that, where there's no repercussions for not working hard and pushing forward. It's not the person's fault, folks. I'm not blaming, the kids that aren't getting a great education. In the kid case, you can blame their parents, because their parents should be the one, because the school structure doesn't push them anymore. The parents should be the one to push them and give them goals and give them consequences, whether it's for improper behavior or not performing up to their potential. But that microcosm of it has now worked its way out in to the general population. And the system has just jacked up the American dream by taking away the fear of failure and in turn eliminating a lot of people's drive to achieve the American dream. That segment there is probably going to hack some people off, Heath. But I truly believe it. I think that we have to quit relying on the government, quit relying on folks that live hundreds or thousands or of miles away from us to solve our day-to-day individual problems. If anyone's just joining in, this all stemmed out of my just almost disgust at people's reactions to how their different election issues and races went. And again, there's a few of them that very much people's rights were stepped on or extreme things happened with laws being passed. But in the big scheme of things, the guy sitting in the White House, has very little effect on your day-to-day life. And, you still woke up Wednesday morning of this week and did the same thing you were doing the day before. And for the big vast majority of you, if it was something that you love or a pursuit of something you love, it's because you went out and took the time to pursue it. And if it's not, it's because you didn't. It's not because of anything that George W. Bush or Barack Obama have done in the last 12 years. So quit taking that, or my advice, I was kind of bossy when I was, but my advice is to quit taking it that way. And in the big scheme of things, just realize that you wake up every morning and you have control of the outcome of that day and the outcome of your life. Take a quick break and be right back.
Check out this month's Third Thursday in Downtown Hutch. This month, the Third Thursday photo booth returns to be in Maine. Donate $1 to have your picture taken. Enter the Mustache and Beard Contest, plus enjoy music from OCDC, Raging Sea, and David Vidal. For more Third Thursday, visit thirdthursdayhutch.com. While you're downtown enjoying Third Thursday, stop in and have dinner at Anchor Inn. For the best Mexican food, Anchor Inn, 128 South Main.
At Ernstein's Radiator Sales and Service of Ellenwood, no job is too large. Ernstein's specialize in radiator repair on big over-the-road trucks, heavy construction, and industrial equipment, as well as radiator repairs on combines, tractors, and farm trucks. Remember, at Ernstein's Radiator Sales and Service of Ellenwood, no job is too large. Call 1-800-452-2712. That's Ernstein's Radiator Sales and Service of Ellenwood, 1-800-452-2712.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
KSKU. Cody
Talk. All right, we're back. Final segment. While we were on commercial break, Heath reminded me that I got distracted when I was trying to talk about Facebook and Twitter because Miley Cyrus with her new fancy haircut popped up on 2.5 Men preview on the TV in here. So if you want, because I've totally gaffed it for the whole show and haven't talked about Facebook and Twitter, don't forget, if you want to leave comments or tell me I'm wrong about something, go to facebook.com/CodyTalks, or we're at Cody Talks on Twitter. Good conversation in both of those places, a lot of times during the day. So doesn't have to be about the show today. If you got something you want to talk about, post something on the wall on Facebook. If it's interesting enough, we'll talk about it on the show next week. Or even if it's just stupid or funny or seems worth talking about. We really don't have a real, set criteria on things. But, if you just heard that and you went to make a comment on Facebook or Twitter now, just a reminder, we're not live today because I'm going on a little vacation. My wife and I are going on a little vacation. And so this is not live when you're listening to it, But we'll be back next Sunday with a great guest. I'll leave it in suspense, but we have a great guest next Sunday. And we'll be back to take your comments on Facebook and Twitter live, and we'll be back on the video too. So there's no live video this week on CodyTalks.com because I needed a vacation. I don't really need a vacation. I just wanted a vacation, so I'm taking a vacation. But we will be back live. Another exciting thing that we want to talk about is not this coming Wednesday. Heath, bust the calendar option on the – what's Wednesday? Is the 21st a Wednesday?
Yes, day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, there you go. Day before Thanksgiving on Wednesday, we're going to start web-only Wednesdays on Cody Talks, meaning we're going to just go live on the website. Hopefully we can sweet-talk the technical staff into putting it up on the putting web-only Wednesdays up on the podcast as well. But we won't be on the radio here in Hutchinson in South Central Kansas on KSKU. We'll just be on the internet. The reason we decided to do that was, we started doing some call-in guests, and then a lot of people started asking if they could come on the show, and talk about their product or service or organization or event. And I want to give as many people as possible a chance to spread the word to all 9 of our listeners and let them know that, that I'm trying to, I really want to support these things. We have some great authors lined up, some really cool musicians lined up, and then just some great, kind of organization people lined up for web only Wednesdays. It'll be on the internet. It will be live, a live interview with them in the mornings on Wednesdays. Time will be confirmed here in the next week or so. And then it'll obviously be archived in a Google Hangout on CodyTalks.com. So if you miss this stuff, like if you're listening to this and you miss episodes, really shame on you because it's 2012. There's so many options that you can do, to make sure that you don't miss episodes. First of all, go to, if you go to CodyTalks.com, and you're an Apple fanboy or girl, on the top right of every page on CodyTalks.com is a quick link to the iTunes subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast there in your iPhone or iPad or iPod or iWhatever or iEverything. We'll automatically download it every time that we upload a podcast. If you're not a Apple fanboy, first of all, kudos to you. And second of all, we're on several different podcast apps. The easiest one, my favorite one really is Stitcher. If you go to Stitcher and just search for Cody Talks, Stitcher is an app on your, that you can download on any smartphone. But if you're an Android or BlackBerry or Windows phone guy and not an iTunes freak, download Stitcher. We're also on TuneIn. Both of those applications, if you don't know what a podcast is, you go to them, download the app, create a free account, and every time that we launch a new, create a free account, search for Cody Talks, subscribe to it, and then every time that we upload a new podcast, it will notify you and, let you download it, so then you can just plug it into your car and just have Cody Talks with you everywhere you go. What are we up to, Heath? This is our 20th episode. Man, we should have had like some cake or something. Celebration. 20th. It's our 20th week anniversary. Man, I really didn't think it would happen. Like, I thought it was crazy that I was going to have a radio show and start this thing. But 20 weeks into it, Heath's got the Podomatic page up scrolling through. You can go to Podomatic. What is it? CodyTalkShow.podomatic.com.
Yeah.
And, download or just listen to right there. If you don't want to download stuff, you can listen to past episodes. We've had some really cool episodes going all the way back to episode 1 with one of my favorite people, Becky McCray. We've had some really cool guests, had some really great discussions, had some really stupid times. I guess it really is kind of weird to be reminiscing like we've been doing this for ages when we're actually really only 5 months into it. But
July 1st was the first
July 1st. So November 1st was actually 4 months into it. I guess 20 weeks only adds up to 4 months plus. Yeah. Anyway, if you're missing the show, it's your own fault. And quite honestly, if you want to be reminded of it, go to CodyTalks.com and there's a subscribe by email, which is, actually, you know, all this other cool technology, but the, subscribe by email thing just broke 500 subscribers on it. So that's a pretty cool deal. Pretty elite club of folks that subscribe to Cody Talks in your email on the right hand column. There's all kinds of, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook.com/CodyTalks, Cody Talks on Twitter, Google Plus, which is actually quite honestly probably my favorite, social network to be on right now. But the thing, you have to search, you have to just go to Google Plus and search for Cody Talks. You'll see the logo to know which one it is to click on. I think there's probably only one Cody Talks on Google Plus, but, you subscribe to those things. We post every time a new episode starts live. And then when the archive's up, so if you want to follow up on it and, not miss out on any more episodes, cause it's crucial that you, Heath's bringing up, you just have to search for it, right? Right. There you go. It's the only one that comes up. It's probably because you already are liking it. And so, right. Well, anyway, search for Cody Talks on Google Plus. I'm ranting and raving now. I'd really appreciate anyone, coming on any of those things. You can email me at CodyTalks@gmail.com. You can make a show request, or have questions about the show. Email CodyTalksShow@gmail.com. But I'd really like to hear your thoughts on the personal responsibility issue, on the thought process that we have to quit, A, relying on the government, and B, making the government the scapegoat for all of our problems. Because even the problems that the government does have and we are responsible to help fix at a minimum with tax dollars are our fault because we rely on them. If you don't want, people in your community becoming reliant on government programs, then get out and fix the problems that they have, or at least make the issues better, make partial solutions to the problem to reduce the impact, because it's our fault, that we're not taking care of ourselves and our own, and we're relying on, again, someone that's, 1600 miles away that really has zero idea what the issues, in Hutchinson, Kansas or in your hometown are. And I know that there's people that completely disagree with me. Barack Obama disagrees with me, and thinks that more big government programs, are the solution to this issue. You can't deny that he thinks that's right, because he thinks that a federal health care plan, is the solution to the issue. I'm not opposed to government assisted health care. I'm just telling you that, when you write 60 billion pages of government health care from a federal standpoint, there are so many people in this country whose issues, considerations, and healthcare concerns are not being dealt with or are being stepped on and trod on because there's no possible way to build a plan for 350 million people. It just doesn't work. There should be no plan that you try to make work for 350 million people. Should there be government assistance and government involvement in healthcare? Absolutely. There should be some. There has to be some. There has to be that safety net for folks that get in a situation, where they are in fact going to not receive proper care and die from it, because of a financial issue. I said it earlier in the show. I'm a fan of both Medicare and Medicaid. They need some fixing. They need some fine tuning, and they're always going to need it. But we do not need programs that are designed in an attempt at accommodating 350 million people. That's why this country grew to be so strong, was because we realized that because of all the individual wants and needs and the drastic difference in them from person to person, state to state, region to region, that our federal central government, should be there for some very basic needs. And that the vast majority of it should be handled on kind of a state and city basis. And the founding fathers of this country realized that when they developed the structure, and, you know, they realized it from educating themselves through history, that every time that any country has grown to the, has let its central government grow to the point that it started dictating the ins and outs of everyday life for individuals that live thousands of miles away from it, all of those governments have collapsed. Every single one of them. And three of them, prior to the United States, were literally the three biggest countries in the world. The last three countries in the world to truly be superpowers with worldwide, at least... as civilization-wide concerns were the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and Soviet Russia. And all three of them tried to dictate everyday instances of people's day-to-day lives, from afar, from a central capital. And I sincerely believe that all three, I don't believe that was Soviet Russia. Soviet Russia tried to actually dominate the world, but the Greek and the Roman Empire both tried to become more civilized and help more people by dictating it out across a realm or an empire. And every single one of them led to their downfall through inefficiencies, bureaucratic nightmares, and in the end, revolution, because they started out with a bleeding heart, thinking that they were going to help massive amounts of people by dictating their policies, and it led to people pushing back, and so they had to enforce their policies so that they didn't lose. I don't want to go down that road because I don't think that the United States is headed to revolution, but this overwhelming desire to have Washington, D.C. fix our problems is leading to Washington, D.C. coming up with more and more wide-sweeping, ridiculous, non-applicable in most of the United States solutions that are then passed into law, that are then forced on people, and then we become more reliant on them, and they pass more laws, and there's more bureaucracy, more inefficiency, and an entire nation of people that are bound to do things that they don't want to do, don't need to do, and don't apply to them. The solution to it is not revolution. It's not rebellion. It's not overthrow. It's everyday people taking care of their individual needs and taking care of the people around them who can't take care of their own individual needs. Personal responsibility means that in the big scheme of things, you're still going to make it no matter who was elected president. Thanks for joining us today on Cody Talks. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter and let us know what you think or what we should be talking about or if you just think we suck. See you next week.
Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.